Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Good. I just like to scare Jeff. So I come in a little late. He's looking around. A few weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I made a note. Jeff was teaching, and he said something I told him this last week. He said that God can hit a good shot with a crooked stick. That's my prayer today. I am your crooked stick. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 17. Now the story of the 10 lepers, the healing of the 10 lepers. I'm sure that as I look around here, everybody here is familiar with the story of the 10 lepers. But maybe familiar ground to most of us, but always does us good to look back over it. It's a familiar story. It picks up in verse 11, and we'll just read it right there. And it came about that while he was on his way to Jerusalem, that he was passing through Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The story is unique for probably many reasons, but I'll just touch on a couple of them. First of all, it doesn't appear, this is the only gospel that it appears in. The other gospels do not touch on this story. Secondly, it is the only time, at least that I know of, and if some Bible scholar can correct me, that would be great, but it's the only time that I know of where Jesus heals multiple people at the same time. And also, not only does he heal multiple people at the same time, but he heals them of the same disease. When you look at it in the context of the whole chapter, it seems like the miracle was kind of inadvertent. It seems happenstance. Almost an interruption. The story opens with Jesus on the move. So he is traveling, it says, to Jerusalem. He's passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he enters a certain unnamed village. Jeff likes to say the place he was raised was a little hick town called Cleburne. Maybe this was the Cleburne of its day. It's unnamed. But Jesus enters this village. Now, Jesus is not alone here. Jesus didn't travel alone. He would go off and get alone. Sometimes he would slip off to a quiet place and be alone. But he didn't travel alone. No other person is named for us in this story. But his disciples would have been there, or at least some of them. His followers would have been there, or at least some of them. We also know that he's not alone by his remarks. In verse 18, "Who was found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Those remarks are directed to someone else. We don't know who, but they're directed to someone else. He speaks directly to the Samaritan in verse 19 when he says, "Rise and go your way." So Christ here is not alone. The lepers are alone. There may have been 10 of them, but they were isolated and separated from everyone else. Today, leprosy is curable. But in Bible times, it was essentially a death sentence. I did a little looking into it. The disease, it's a bacteria, and it attacks the skin, and it causes red blotches and boil-like things to pop up on the skin. If it's not treated, it makes its way down to the bones, where it sets up there and causes lesions, painful lesions. The disease also causes the eroding of the extremities. The extremities are the fingers and the toes and maybe the nose and ears. So in the worst cases, these lepers had, deforming. If they had it for a long time, they would have possibly been deformed, missing toes, maybe missing fingers, but at least all gnarled up from it. Now, leprosy may or may not kill a person, but the leper's mortality rate would have been higher than the general population, as a general rule. It would have been higher because secondary infections, when you have fingers fall off or erosions, exposure, they had no home, and then just deprivation, they went without. Since the disease in these times had no cure, the only course of action to keep it from spreading was isolation. Now for us, isolation has a clean antiseptic word, ring about it, I'm sorry. It sounds like a ward over in the hospital. It's over on one side, caution. That's too clean of a word, really. The best word to describe it is banishment. They were banished. That'd be the best way to describe their treatment. So they were banished. They were driven out. They were driven out of their homes. They were driven out of their villages. They were driven out of the workplace. They were driven out of the marketplace. They were driven from the places of worship. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Unable to hold your wife's hand? Unable to hold your child? To whisper all the I love yous that you long to say to them? Unable to do it. To no longer have the dignity of work, of trade. They couldn't practice their trade. No one would buy their product or eat the food they grew. Dignity. They lost the dignity of work. They lost the pride of accomplishment. We don't like to talk about pride much. We consider it maybe it can be sinful, but it's okay to be proud. To be proud, of something you've accomplished or something you've done, education or whatever it is, or it doesn't matter. Something you're proud of. The pride of accomplishment was denied these men. They couldn't attend worship. The lepers were totally dependent on the kindness of their families and the kindness of strangers. Food would have been left out for them, perhaps, different places, perhaps some bits of clothing. We don't dwell on all of this so that we can just kind of gawk at them. Really, we want to talk about this in depth a little bit so that at least in part, as we sit here comfortably today, at least in part, we can take the measure of their misery. They were desperate. desperate. Most of us have never been desperate. As I was preparing for this lesson, I couldn't help but think about our doctors. We have a couple in our fellowship. My father-in-law was a doctor. And as I was reading through this, I thought, you know, it must be the highlight of their day or their week when they can eliminate somebody's suffering. So often we get bad news from doctors. But isn't it great? And think of the relief he has when he can say, we got this. This will take care of this. And just eliminate someone's suffering. Must be the highlight of their day, their week. We want to take the measure of their suffering, the measure of their misery. So we have the scene kind of set for us here. There are two groups. There are two groups here. There is Christ and those traveling with him. And there are the lepers, despondent, cut off from everyone else, and grouped together. Now, there are some subtleties in this story that are very, very important. In verse 12 and 13, it says, as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, the King James Version clears it up a little better, I think, just a little bit. And so I'll just quote from it. I wrote it out. I won't look it up. So the King James Version says this. There met him 10 lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted their voices. Afar off. In other words, the lepers did not come up to Christ. They did not approach Jesus. Levitical law and social norms would have prevented that. In fact, Mosaic law says that if someone approaches a leper, the leper is supposed to throw their hands up and say, unclean, unclean, to protect those people. There was other things they had to do too. They had to wear their hair. I didn't want to get into all that, but their hair disheveled, their clothes torn or something. But they had to hollow that out. The point is, they did not come up to Jesus. It says they met him, but they did not come up to Jesus. They were afar off. From what I can gather from just a little research, the lepers are supposed to stay roughly 150 feet away from everyone else. Some people have it a little closer, some have it a little further, and that's really not that important to us. But the point is, we'll just stick with 150. The lepers are supposed to stay 150 feet away. Just like I said, if you find a different number, it's okay. But that's what we're going to use today. So 150 feet is probably from where I'm standing, maybe to where the big tree is. The big tree right by our driveway, right here. As you go out, if you lean back or forward, you might be able to see it. But about. If you can't see it, just picture in your mind half a football field. In Texas, everybody knows what a football field is. So half a football field. You can just picture it that way. The point is here that this entire exchange between Jesus and the lepers, this miracle takes place over a good deal of ground. There is space between them. For Jesus, all things were lawful, but not all things were profitable. All things were lawful, but not all things edify. Jesus had every right and the authority to call the lepers to himself. He's Jesus, the Son of God. He had all the authority he needed to call the lepers to himself. He had all the authority he needed to walk right into their midst and put his hands on them. Why he did this miracle at a distance, we don't really know, but we can kind of surmise. The enemies of Jesus were always watching. The enemies of Jesus were always looking for an opportunity to accuse him, something they could use against him, always watching. We also have to remember that many of the people traveling with Jesus, they knew he was a great teacher, rabbi, a healer, a miracle worker, a man of God, but not many of them did not fully know he was the Christ. And so perhaps, for their conscience sake, he does this miracle over a great deal of ground. We don't know how the lepers recognized Jesus. Perhaps someone got word to them in advance. Hey, Jesus is coming by here. He'll be passing by. Maybe they stationed themselves beside the road so they could maybe intersect with him. We don't know, but maybe one of them had seen Jesus before, had heard him teach before he came down with the disease. We don't know. We don't know. But somehow, they know it's Jesus. And they raise their voices from afar off. I liken it to 10 men lost at sea. You can picture that, can't you? 10 men in a raft. There are many stories down through the ages about such things. 10 men in a raft in the vast Pacific. Not a cloud in the sky. Not a dot of land to be seen. Desperate. Desperate. And then a speck shows up on the horizon. And it gets closer and closer and bigger, right? And they stand up in the raft, don't they? And they wave their hands. Over here! Over here! I liken this to that. They raised their voices. They didn't clear their throats. They yelled out, over here! Jesus! Master! I liken it to that. For those traveling with Jesus, he was Christ close. He was Christ close. They could reach out and touch him. They could touch his robe. They could slip their arm through his. They could speak to him in hushed tones. They could ask him all the things that were on their hearts. Their fellowship, their conversation was intimate. You ever had an intimate conversation? Even in a crowded place, you lean into it and you whisper to somebody something that you want to say. An intimate conversation. Their fellowship with Christ was intimate. For the lepers, Jesus was also Christ, but he was Christ at a distance. Christ, but at a distance. They could not speak quietly to him about their condition. They could not touch him. They could not whisper to him. They could not fellowship with him. They were banished. They couldn't have intimate conversation with Jesus. There was space between them. This may move us to pity the lepers even more, and rightly so. But actually, there's real encouragement for us here. Real encouragement. There is much, much that Christ can do for us, even from a distance. This should encourage our hearts on many different levels. Is there a prodigal you're praying for? Is there a prodigal that you're praying for? As I look through the little gathering this morning, there's probably not a family here that doesn't have a prodigal in it or knows of one. Someone you love, a son, a daughter, a friend, a family member, someone who has slipped their cable, lost their anchor, and just like that boat that comes untied, it just drifts. It drifts. They drift from God's truth. They drift from God's people. There is much that Christ can do for them, even at a distance. Are you burdened for the lost? For the church, for our own nation, for revival, perhaps, like me, about your own condition. There's much he can do for us, even when he seems afar off. Well, Jesus replies to the lepers. He calls back out to them. Doesn't whisper it to them. He hollers it at them. Go and show yourselves to the priests. That's it. No fanfare. No strings attached. There were no conditions. Go and do this. It's just go and show yourself to the priest. And as they turn and make their way to the priest, they are instantly and miraculously healed. Isn't that amazing? They are healed. I should probably sit down right there. They turn, do what the Lord bids, and they are healed. Can you imagine? Picking on Jeff a little bit, last week he talked about emotion, right? About the emotions that Paul was conveying in his letters to the Thessalonians. He even used the word ecstatic. Paul was ecstatic. I like that. Imagine the emotions that swept over these men as they realized they had been healed. Imagine the wave of emotions crashing on them. I see them quickening their pace. Would you drag your feet to the priest? You look down and healed. I see them quickening their pace. Almost to a run. All the thoughts that were racing through their mind. Home. Home. Home with all of its sights. It sounds, it smells. Everybody's home has a distinct smell. I'm home, home. To sleep in your own bed. Reinstatement into society. Reinstatement into work. Into worship. The emotions that must have been sweeping over them. Now, Just a note here about the nine. Just a sidebar. 2,000 years of hindsight is a lofty perch from which to look back on. And if we're not careful, down on the nine. None of us knows what we would have done. We like to think we know what we would have done. You're eaten up with leprosy. You haven't held your wife's hand or your child or eaten your own food or slept in your own bed. What would you do? You'd probably run to the priest. I don't know. The point is, I don't have it in my heart to judge them. And I'll tell you why very quickly. Because on the great day, when I am standing before the bar of God, I don't want them judging me. The only one we want to judge us is Him who saved us, right? And so, a note about the nine. But there was one who, upon seeing he had been healed, turned back. Now, up to this point, there had been a good deal of ground, of space, separating himself from Christ. There was space between them. Here he turns and he begins to close the distance. He begins to cover that ground that's been between them. Closer and closer and closer. I see him quickening his pace. He raises his voice again, but this time it's in praise of God. Can you see it? Can you see it? This is no small thing. This is not done in a corner. This man is running to Christ with his hands probably over his head. Praise God. Praise God. I see him quickening his pace, shouting. Well, in just a moment or two, he has fully closed the distance. And he finds himself on his face at the feet of the Master. Finally, Christ close. Verse 16 says, and he was a Samaritan. We love that, don't we? I do. It's actually underlined in my Bible, and not from this study. I had it underlined from somewhere long ago. And he was a Samaritan. We love it. Not in a prideful way, but in a thankful way, that Jesus showed mercy to us, to Gentiles. He was a Samaritan. In verse 17 and 18, Jesus asks a question. Were there not 10 cleansed, but the nine, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now, Jesus here is not chiding or scolding the Samaritan. His remarks are directed to those who were with him. This is not the last time that Jesus would seem genuinely shocked at his rejection by his own people. Well, the story closes with a jewel of a remark. And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I like the marginal reading. Your faith has saved you. And then the Samaritan, He drops off the pages of our Bible, never to be seen again. But you and I both know the story doesn't end there. We'll know more when we get there. Well, this story, this little teaching, it leads to an obvious question, doesn't it? What is our proximity this morning to Christ? What is your proximity this morning to Christ? What is mine? Is he Christ close? And lean your head back on him. Whisper the prayers for the prodigals, our prodigals. Whisper the prayers for the lost, for the church, for revival. Tell him all the secret things that are on your heart. But perhaps for some of us this morning, is Christ at a distance? We love him. We know him. But there is space between us. Well, if that's the case, we've already touched on the encouragement. There is much, much that Christ can do for us, even when there is space between us. But if he is at a distance from anybody today, what put him there? He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. So if there is space somehow between us, what put it there? For the lepers, it was their condition. And it's the same for us. It's our condition that has put him there. Are we careworn from living in this world? With all of its anxiety, all of its worry, family problems, financial problems, just the grind. It wears us down. Or is it our sin that put space between us and the Lord? Cold prayers, a cold heart, spiritual laziness. We just don't have time to pray or read the Bible. We find time to watch the game. We find time to pursue our hobbies, but not our Lord. We roll around in this world, and before we know it, we have earth stains on us. We look up, and our Lord is at a distance. Jesus did much for the nine. Much. But he did more for the one. We should make him our model. We should imitate the Samaritan. Let us close any distance today. This is the Lord's day. Let us close any distance today that is between us. It's a sweet prayer to pray. It's very simple and very sweet. Christ, keep me close today.